So just a disclaimer, I suppose, before we start, I am smothering with a head cold. So I apologize for all the sniffles. It's actually one of Killian's pet hates when I come on this podcast that I naturally just sniffle.
You're a sniffler.
Yeah. But now I'm like 10 times worse. And he's like, oh, don't want to do it because I'm sniffling. But I'm like, if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it.
We'll edit out the sniffles where possible.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Welcome back.
Can you believe it? It's finally here.
To the New Parents Podcast. The longest comeback in podcast history, I reckon.
I can only compare it to, you know, when you finish watching a TV series.
Yeah, you have to wait a whole year.
You have to wait a whole year. You're like, oh my God, that's it. This is just the new season of Succession or whatever.
That's actually starting back at the end of this month.
Which leads us nicely into our sponsor.
HBO. Now TV.
Yeah.
We wish. So yeah, I suppose we'll catch everybody up up to the last year, I guess.
What a year.
A year. Like, Alex has won.
It's been the easiest year of my life. Honestly. It's just... Do you ever just feel like you're born to do something? Do you ever just feel like, this is just coming so naturally to me? And I see other people talking about how hard it is parenting. And I'm like, really? I guess you just don't parent the way I do, which is...
fight or flight mode.
Fucking the last year of just like gripping to the seat of my pants, go, oh, I would just get through another day.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. Well, we did a lot this year. A lot happened and we did a lot. So we got married.
You're my wife.
Yes, you're my husband.
I know, look at you.
Well, that's debatable.
I did threaten you with divorce last night because you wouldn't taste the food I cooked.
But I did say to you that you would never divorce me because you wouldn't spend the money to divorce me.
I'm such a scab. I'm divorcing you. And then I meet with the solicitor and I guess this will be about 10 grand in total. I'm like, oh, I guess I could live with her. I mean...
You definitely wouldn't go through with it. They'd just outline. They'd outline how much it cost you. And then you'd be like, actually, do you know what? I'll just try and make it work.
I hate that note because you know you can just do whatever you want in this relationship. And it's like, you're too scabby to leave me.
Babe, I have news for you.
Go on.
I do what I want anyway.
As you do within the confines of what I allow you to do, you do whatever you want.
Anyway, let's go back to the last year. So we got married.
That was a great old day.
Yeah, we got married in the Westbury in Dublin. It was really nice to have a Dublin wedding, wasn't it?
So nice. And it was just, well, to us anyway, it was just no pressure, you know?
We kind of, in January last year, you just said to me, like we were talking about, like, you know, when we'll get married and stuff like that. And we just had Alex. And then you said to me, like, would you like to get married this year and have something a little bit smaller or wait a year or two and have a big, massive wedding? And I was like, I don't want a massive wedding.
Which was music to my ears.
It's like, let's just do it this year and do it, like, I guess, a lower expense. Is that the right?
Well, it's not even that it was like it wasn't a cheap wedding. It wasn't a cheap wedding. It was that there was...
Without the faff. Yeah.
And look, we've been to weddings with faff, and faff is great. Like, some of the stuff, some of the add-ons that people get is... They're amazing.
Yeah. But I guess we're just in a new place in our life where we were just like, do you know what? Our wedding is about was getting married. It's not necessarily about, like, you know, we wanted to have a good day, good party, essentially, is what we wanted to have, which I think we did.
We focused on it. We put the money where it was best spent in terms of the venue, the food, the booze and the band.
Yeah.
Like,
was great. Well, we didn't stop dancing the whole night.
I know, yeah, and it's mad. We got some of our photos back because we got married in the height of August. It was the middle of August.
Yeah,
so it was
like
bright until
11
o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So, like, there's these pictures of us, like, Larry on the dance floor, full daylight.
It's a bit mental.
We just looked like absolute sessioners in the middle of a day.
But it was a great L day.
It really was.
Some nice photos and videos to look back on, I suppose.
It was. It's nice to... Because I never really pictured myself...
Getting married.
Yeah. And it's not because I didn't picture myself in a long-term monogamous relationship. That was never the issue. I always saw myself with you forever. It was just, I've been groomsman a couple of times. I've stood at the top of the church. You know, I've been in amongst everything. And it was an amazing experience. It was so lovely to have been asked and to be a part of people's special day. And as much as I loved all of that happened on those wedding days, I loved all of it for them. Mm-hmm. But at no point did I think, oh, I want this for me.
Yeah.
You know, I never kind of...
I don't know if men actually do, like...
get as excited about a wedding as...
Yeah, I think they just get swept along, don't
well,
they?
Well, there's one, well, I won't name names, but so excited for it, you know, and he had planned all these kind of little surprises for the day and everything.
Wedding, actually. We weren't together that long, actually, when we went to that wedding.
Were we not?
No, I don't think so.
It just feels like we've always been together.
Oh, Jesus. He's back, guys. He's back. The cheese. But anyway, yeah, so we got married. That was the box ticked.
I know, yeah, not the best way to talk about it, but let's just do this and get it done, won't we?
I know, we had a good time.
No, it was lovely. And our vows, we wrote our own vows. And in fact, the whole ceremony, so we didn't do a church wedding. We're not religious, the pair of us, really.
No, even though we got Alex christened.
We got, yeah, I don't know why we did that.
Well, like, I think it was important to, I don't know why. Like, yeah, I'm not religious, I don't go to church.
Because we don't think God is going to be his moral compass in life. I think we're going to be his moral compass.
Yeah, of course. But like, I guess you have to believe in something, do you know? So
believe in yourself.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, this is what this podcast season, sorry, I meant to say season 2 of this podcast is all about self-affirmation. And what I want you to do now is to christen yourself into the bosom of your own love. See that little soundbite like that. If that was someone else,
like Tony Robinson or something,
yeah, that'd be like, oh my god, 800 quid for a ticket to go see him.
Is it Robinson
point.
Or Robbins?
Robbins, is it Robbins?
But anyway, yeah. So we got him christened. We're not overly religious. Our wedding, we didn't have a church ceremony.
We didn't have the church ceremony, so which was
so much nicer though.
So much nicer for us because we had a celebrant who
oh my
was
god, she was unbelievable. Brilliant. Andrea Hall, is that her name?
So she. We met her a couple of times. It was still COVID, so we met over Zoom a couple of times. And then she sent us this kind of form to fill out about how we met and all what we love about each other and all that sort of
stuff.
And
we did that separately. Totally separately.
And then she curated this totally bespoke ceremony.
It was fun.
All about our love story. It was amazing. It was so nice just to sit in a room with 80 of our closest friends and family and kind of have the day just talk about it. Because that's what I always felt with church weddings is that it's all about... Oh, you'll be looking out to be welcomed into the eyes of God. Like, I'm not doing this for God.
Do you remember we were at a wedding and the priest gave out to everybody?
Oh my God, for having too much crack?
Yeah.
He actually did. Was like, he reprimanded the... Okay. Now just, you know, we need to... And like even little things, you know, when you have to sign the registry at the end and stuff. So there's... The music is playing and like generally a bit of chat where people turn to the person beside you and go, it was a lovely ceremony, wasn't it? It was a lovely ceremony. Oh, she looks lovely. You did the usual chat. People are just having the usual chat.
It's like,
and the priest back on the mic. Yeah, Now we are still in the place of the Lord. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Where we had, we gave drinks to everyone going into
I wanted to do that instead of doing like a body of Christ.
I wanted to do a shot. Yeah, well, that was a bit crass. Yeah. But we did.
we had a drinks cart.
Gin cart.
Supplied by gin and whiskey. Supplied by your mother. It was very generous of her.
Yeah,
so we basically boozed people up before they even come into the ceremony. And then they come into the ceremony holding what can only be described as at least a triple. Because we had all these bottles of booze and we were only doing the drinks cart before the ceremony. So we were like, obviously with the pourers, we're like, let's just use it up. And people were getting like doubles and triples. So they were locked during
it. Like, well, I remember we were coming in, you know, when they welcome you into the room for dinner. And I remember coming in and like seeing like some of my aunties and uncles and they were like half cut. Like my mom was half cut as well. I was like, people haven't even had their dinner yet.
Because it was so early starting. Your mom got drunk but then sobered up by the time dinner because she hadn't eaten anything.
She won't like that you said she was drunk on the podcast.
Okay, not drunk. She was incredibly merry.
Loose
lips. She reprimanded Steve. We were on the balcony. It was a beautiful sunny day. It was like one of the nicest days, 30 degrees. And we were on the balcony in the Westbury. And Steve was standing there with sunglasses on. Your mom came out and was it Steve or Trev? One of the lads anyway. And she basically like scolded him and told him to take the sunglasses off because she can't see his eyes. And he was like, in that moment, he's a grown man. Like in that moment, was just like reverted back to a 12-year-old being told off by someone's mom. Like, all right, sorry. But yeah, so she was very loose. And then sobered up again after she had a bit of food and because she danced the whole night away.
We were all dancing. Anyway, it was a great L day.
It really was.
Then we went on honeymoon, family moon.
Family moon, yeah.
Alex headed off to Portugal.
Well, it was down to where you chose. You chose this amazing,
stunning
hotel that had.
What was it called? Dome Lake.
Dome Lake, yeah.
Yeah, it was fab.
In Portugal.
In Villamora.
Yeah, you can see where. Ballers. It was one of those hotels that, like, when you check in, you're met with the personal concierge, whatever, and they obviously get your name and they know your name.
It's one of those hotels that you go to, like, obviously we splashed out a bit more than usual because it was our honeymoon. And it's one of those places you go to where you see families there with loads of kids and you're all like, how do they afford this as their summer holiday every year? Like,
it is, it was, but it was lovely because every time you see the staff, they're always like, Mr. O'Sullivan. And you're like, oh, I love that. Yeah,
they were so good. It was so lovely. And Alex loved the water.
Yeah, because there was two types of pools. There was your regular pool, but then there was like a fake beach pool that they had as well, which was, the whole place is amazing. Anyway, they sponsored this show, which is great. They gave me a discount on that. Actually, speaking of discounts, I remember going on that holiday and saying to myself, right, for this week, because it's our family moon, let's just, like, if I want something, I'm charging it to the room. I don't care what it is. If I want a whiskey in the middle of the afternoon, I'm getting it. I'm just like, I went all out. All bets were off. I'm like, future Killian's going to worry about this bill. Until then, present Killian is going to have a good time. And I was getting chips sent over the pool, nachos, whatever I wanted all week long. Braced myself for the final bill. It was fine.
Yeah, it was actually grand, wasn't it?
And you broke it down per day. Now, it helped that, like, you probably weren't really drinking that much at all. I was definitely having three cocktails for every one you were sipping on. But I remember being like,
I still didn't think it was that, like, it wasn't that bad, you know, overly expensive. I mean, to stay was expensive.
Yeah.
And the flights and stuff like that. But, like, the actual, like, to eat and drink and stuff throughout the day wasn't actually that expensive. It was a good one.
Hey, maybe we could be one of those families that you see in those hotels having summer holidays in 5-star hotels.
Yeah, you're not going to pay for a hotel room that price again.
I'm
not a scab.
I'm just fiscally conscious.
You know what I have to do? We're, like, planning our holiday for this year. And I have to, like, our childminder's away at certain points in the year. And we're like, we might as well go around those times, like. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, we'll do sun or whatever. I have to do, like, a presentation. I have to, like, sell our holiday to Killian to justify the money.
I don't know if anybody knows what anchoring is in terms of pricing, but Deb does this whereby, like, she'll pitch three levels. So one will be very expensive, like the sort of money that you're like, we could literally buy a house somewhere for that money.
You're so dramatic.
And then another one would be, like, the sort of a place you'd see on, like, holidays, nightmare holidays, you know, that is awful. And then the one in the middle, because the first one was so expensive, now the one in the middle, which is the one you wanted all along, seems cheap relative to that and so much nicer than the absolute dive you showed. So I'm like, oh, let's go with that one in the middle. I know what you do. I fall for it every single time.
Yeah, but do you know what that is? I'm just clever. That's all it is. And I just know you inside out. That's all it is.
It's only since getting with you I've even started treating myself two items from the minibar. For years, the minibar to me was like, don't even look at that. Do you have any idea how much a bottle of Coke is from that minibar? Like €7.
That's because your parents drill that into you.
Yeah, true. But I remember for years it's been like, do not touch. I don't care if you're literally dying of dehydration. Wait until I get a water from the convenience store down the road. But then with you, you were like, well, no, what you're paying for is the fact you don't have to go to the shop down the road. You're like, if you just want that can of Coke, you pay the extra couple of euro for that convenience. And I'm getting my head around it. I sound like an awful scab on this. I'm not, I'm just...
Don't. No, you're not, you're just...
I tell you what it is, I went flat broke when I was 25. Yeah. Like, flat broke. I had lots of money when I was very young because I was on the telly.
No way, were you?
Yeah, babe, this is... All right, guys and gals, listen to this. This is Debbie going to be fangirling over me for the rest of this episode. I was in Fair City.
What's Fair City?
But I came into money young and, you know...
No, you earned money young.
I earned money young. So much money for what I was doing. I mean, I would have done it for free. Thank God they didn't know that.
Your mom wanted to...
Well, she did. She did try. Yeah. When they rang to negotiate the contract, I walked in on the phone call and she was like, oh, Jesus, no, you don't have to pay him. That would just be a great experience. And obviously they said, well, no, like, legally we have to pay him. Yeah. So she was like, oh, whatever minimum is. And I'm like, the worst negotiator ever. But yeah, so I was from the age of, what, 12. I was making pretty decent money. So to me, I had a really unhealthy relationship towards money because every Thursday at midnight, another chunk of change would just go into my account. Mm. So I just thought that's what money was to me for years from 12 to 22.
And like, how was that from 12 to 22? And then like all your friends wouldn't have been earning money at that
stage. I supported everybody financially. Yeah. I paid for all the booze. It just was because I had it and they didn't. Yeah. So it was like, that was just a thing. And one thing I did notice is that when I left Fair City in my early 20s, I had a good chunk of change in the bank. And I was still living my life as I had previously. And after about a year, I remember it was the first time I looked at my bank account and I was like, wait, that number's going down and it's not going back up at all. Mm. And then it was like, the number starts dipping below a number. I haven't seen it dip below that years ever, you know? And then I was like, oh shit. And then after about a year, I was like, something needs to change here. And then that's when I was like...
Like, you start pulling back then?
Started pulling back. Stuff. And then, people started pulling back from me. Yeah. And I was ended up, it was around 25. And I remember going from like having like loads of, I wouldn't even necessarily call them friends, associates, people who I socialized with maybe more than anything else. And it paired right back to maybe five people.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't
it? It's mad. So you've like, and to this day, I've got my hardcore, like,
people. In
yeah,
life.
I've yeah. two.
Maybe you shouldn't name them because right, you might forget names. Somebody. Oh, yeah. Like,
but it opened my eyes to what a real friend was, and it was the people that were still there after you know.
Yeah, that didn't care about the money.
That didn't care about anything else. About the fact that like 1 year we're going to the Meteor Awards and being VIP, but then when your star stops glowing. You can't get into them. 1 year, this was embarrassing, but I won't say who was with because it was another person off the telly, but we hung around after the Meteor Awards outside the official after party with no passes to get in, waiting for people to come out, and we then would jimmy the wristband off their wrist. We put it on our wrist and then we sauntered in. And the mad thing is, you're in there then, and people, once you're in there, everyone just thinks that you're just there. Because for the years previous, you would have been there and you're in that thing. But it's like, we only got in because we jimmied these off two people who had left early because they were like older and weren't going to stay for the sesh or whatever. But I remember like, that's the reality of it. When your star stops to shine, how quickly people forget. And what that did, that gave me a whole new perspective on
it's probably the humbling, people like,
I let it? Into my life, I let into my circle. Yeah. So I'm still quite guarded with who I would let be, you know, a real close friend.
Mm-hmm. My close friend.
You're on the way. You're definitely on the way. But still, to this day, you know, I keep myself quite, there's a version of me that a lot of people would know and there's a whole side of me that no one's ever met, and I people I could know for 10 years, and they would never have actually met the real me because I keep them at arm's length. You know what I mean? Mm. Like little things, I just keep my own life to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense.
There was one day I was on a shoot, and it was we were there, probably 12 other people in the studio that day. It was great vibes all day long, and at 2 o'clock I got a phone call to say that mom's cancer was back and bad and it was not good, and we were having a family meeting that evening. So I took that call, but I still had like 5 hours of a shoot left. You can't walk out on, I'm the director, I'm in the middle of it. So I went back in, pulled up my bootstraps, did the rest of the shoot, and to this day there were people, maybe if they listen to this, who were like, I wonder what shoot that was on, because you wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not their problem to deal with. You know what I mean? So there's still a huge side of me that no one really sees ever, actually. And I think you, even at times with you, I try and keep myself to myself, maybe to a fault, but you are certainly, you've created a space whereby I'm allowed to be vulnerable, whereas I don't think I allow myself to be vulnerable to other people.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a handful.
It's so understandable.
You've got into that inner circle.
But that's, I think, based on like your career and stuff, and like being in the limelight at a point in your life and stuff like that, that like, of course, you're going to be a little bit more guarded, especially if you had people that were only sticking around when you were paying the way. And then when you stop doing that and you notice they're gone, that's going to make you be a bit more guarded towards.
But even with girls as well, I was so, because I started the show when I was 12. So by the time you're like trying to kiss girls at like 15, 16, I was years on the show at that stage. And there was one girl I remember kissing, and she was the most, to me at the point, the most beautiful thing. She was just like so far out of my league. And I just remember being like, I can't believe I got to kiss this girl. And then I'd heard back through someone else that she was like scoring this other boy. And then when she was asked, are you not kissing Killian? She said, no, I only kissed him because he was on the telly. And then at 15, I heard that back. And from that point on, I was so guarded with who I would, like any girl that would come over and try to talk to me, I'd be like, no, because it's only because I'm on the telly. I didn't believe girls were actually liked me or were into me because, well, firstly, I was just too paranoid of the fact of like, they're only doing this so they can say they kissed the fella off the telly or whatever, you know? But I remember her. I remember her name as well. I won't say it now, but I can't believe it. It's probably a good thing she did for me, actually, because it kept me guarded through all those years, and it just meant that, I guess when I did get with anybody, it was because I was certain
that it was for real.
That it was for real, you know. And then, like to this day, you claim not to be a fan of mine.
I never watched Fair City growing up.
But come on, I was on the cover of the RTE Guide every other week. I was in Smash Hits magazine. I was number two hottest boy. Like. none of this resonated.
Was the person blind when they picked you as number two back then?
Do you know who was number one? Remember that fellow with the blonde hair? He was in one of the English soaps. He had like the curtains.
Nick
or something.
Yeah, what was his name?
Anyway, he beat me in that list. And to the, you know, I'm over it
I
now.
Actually
I'm over it
him
now.
Back then.
Oh, so you're aware of him?
Yeah, too funny. But yeah, no, I didn't watch. It was never on in my house. Like, we weren't a house that had that on the TV, so I wasn't very aware of it. But I do remember Mondo. Like, I remember.
Oh, you remember George? We were on the show at the same time. Remember George?
But that's what I mean. You don't like. It doesn't ring any bells. You
didn't.
But,
didn't make an impression.
George
on
did. Me. But I don't know if it's just because George's storyline at the time, maybe. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I didn't know you. You still to this day think that I'm, what do you call me? A star. Are you allowed to say that on the podcast?
Obviously, these are
joking,
all like
jokes.
These are all in jokes that we have amongst ourselves and wouldn't usually share them, but you're all friends. So,
yeah. So, thanks everyone for coming to Killian's podcast. I'm only joking.
So, tell me about you growing up. And
so, we'll go back. We've gone off segue there, but so we'll come back to the year that we've been missing. So, we had a lot going on. We had the wedding, all that, like, kind of just trying to juggle being new parents and the lack of sleep and all that sort of stuff.
At a time where you were looking to wind down your business
as
well.
That's the thing, yeah. So then I closed my business in September.
Like, that was, because there was, I don't know how much you want to get into it on the pod, but around the time of our wedding was like, there was serious discussions happening. So amongst, like, along with planning the wedding, everything else, there was all these questions you were having to ask yourself about, yeah, what do you want the next 5 years of your life to look, yeah, like? Do you want to sign into another 5-year lease on your premises? That would mean that you need to continue trading and you'd need
to... Yeah, there was a lot happening at that time. Like, so obviously, like, we're going to be coming into September, which is a new term. So then you've a year committing to another year. And then the following April would have been, my lease would have been up. So I would have had to enter into another agreement with my lease. So then you're like, not just doing another year, you're entering into years. So like, I really just had to sit with it all and see. And I'd say probably the 2 years before, so like maybe from like 2019 onwards, the thought was in my head of like, I don't really want to continue doing this. It's not making me happy anymore. And one of my things that I used to always say to students is that, you know, if you fall out of love with doing makeup, with like, that's because that's what they're going on to do. If you fall out of love doing makeup, then don't do it, because you're not going to do a good job, like, you know, or take a break and try and fall in love again. And so I had to like listen to my own advice there and just be like, I'm not loving this. I haven't enjoyed it for a long time. There was definitely like years there where I thoroughly enjoyed my business and the growth and all that sort of stuff. But it just got to a point that it just was no longer serving me. So I was like, why am I doing this? And all it was is that I was just stressed out about, you know, paying bills, paying people's wages, and making sure that, you know, the students come out to a high standard, like all that sort of stuff. But I wasn't gaining anything from it. So then when Alex came along, obviously, like, your time is very precious. You don't generally have as much time anymore. It's like, I don't know what I did before he came along, because like, he literally takes up every second of the day. But yeah, so I was just like, you know, after COVID and everything, obviously things shifted and changed within the makeup industry. I knew that going into September, I would have to give the same level, you know, of work ethic from myself that I probably did when I first started out. And that was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
It was no baby, no responsibilities or anything like that. So, yeah, I just kind of sat with myself. And I suppose one of the things that maybe was preventing me from making the decision was that, you know, like, what would I do next? Like, I'd no, like, job plan. I'd no other business.
You'd,
like,
worked for yourself for 12 years.
Yeah, so I was just like, what would I do next? And then, you know, other things like when you close a business, there's loads of stuff, like loads of things that go with that, you know, that need to be sorted and processed and all that sort of stuff. So it was going to be a big job to do it. But then having a conversation with you, you were just so supportive of being like, you know, you've been miserable for a couple of years. This, yeah. You know, you always describe it as me being in a bad relationship and not leaving it. Like,
it was like watching your best friend be with somebody who's like abusive, ripping them off the whole time, or like speaks to them badly and just treats them like shit the whole time. And then you're like, in your internal dialogue is like, just leave this person. You know, but then it's like, but I love him, or, you know, or we've got a house together, whatever it might be. And that's what it was with the business. You had so much in it, wrapped up within the business that you thought it wasn't as easy as you being able to just walk away.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though, that I didn't realize would happen is that when I actually closed, I didn't realize how much I attached my identity with the business. So like, I found that so I'm already struggling with trying to figure out who the hell I am after having a baby and becoming a mom, and all the moms out there listening to us will completely understand that you grieve the old you. So you're trying to deal with all that, all your hormones and emotions, being a mom from the first time, and then I'm closing this part of my life that I assume is going to be grand, weight lifted off my shoulders, this is going to be fine. And then I find myself in a situation going like, I didn't realize how much of my life I wrapped around in this business. Like,
was there something that happened that kind of hit that home with you, or just when you were sitting there thinking about it?
No, I think I was just sitting there thinking about it. Probably, you know, a couple of weeks later, where I'm like trying to figure out, well, like what'll I do next? Do you know what I mean? And like, I don't know. Just I was just in such a funny place that I was like I didn't really know who I was next.
Is it because did you sort of identify as a business owner?
Yeah, like, well, that was a huge thing. Like, and maybe it's an ego thing, but like, you know, I loved having a business. I loved owning my own business. I was so proud of my achievements, and I was so proud to say I own my own business. So I definitely attached that to who that made me successful. Like that's success. It was like, I own my own business. Like, do you know? So then when you take that away, I was like, who am I now? Like, when I say to people, like, we'd been to a few different things where people were like, and what do you do? And I remember the first time someone said that to me, and I was like, oh. And obviously in the moment I said, oh, well, I just had a baby. I'm at home at the moment. But I used to have this business, blah, blah, blah. But I remember coming away from that conversation and it really struck a chord with me. And I was like, actually, who am I? Like, what do I do now? Do you know what I mean? And like, being a home rearing a child is probably one of the toughest jobs in the world. But like, I know me personally wanted to be out working. I didn't want to just do that. I wanted to do something else as well and find myself within that. But like, yeah, that definitely made me look at myself.
Isn't it mad that like that was a conversation that the other person probably...
Oh yeah,
didn't even resonate with. That was just like a small talk chat.
Yeah, and I took a mental note of that because I said, I'm never going to ask that question to somebody else.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, you just never know what's going on. Like, do you know, unless, that was kind of like the first question they asked me. So unless you're in conversation, yeah, and like, you get to there. Yeah. But like,
I guess, was this at the Image Awards?
No, it was at a wedding.
Okay.
But it was asked at the Image Awards. Then it was asked. Yeah, the Image Awards I found so tough, like so funny and tough. Like,
because it's one of those things, you're sitting around a table with like different pods of people that you don't know, but you're just put on a table. Yeah. And the question is kind of, what the question should be is, why are you here?
Yeah.
You can't ask that question. So you're like, and what industry do you work in or whatever? Yeah. So that is kind of the first question asked.
Yeah.
I'd never thought that could be triggering, or that could be.
And like in that, so the Image Awards, during COVID, I was nominated for an award, and the awards, obviously, they did them online. So your ticket was still valid for the next time they went on. So last year was the first time it was back after COVID. So we were automatically going, and I was in such a funny place anyway. But I remember like at the time being like, I suppose, having such anxiety around it, going, I'm literally going into a room full of my peers. Like, it's the whole beauty industry. Like, it's like literally where I was like 2 years ago. I was nominated for an award at this place, like. And here I'm now coming back where I don't know who the hell I am. I don't have a business anymore. I'm going to have to sit around all my peers who are up for awards, or like, you know, are there because they're excelling or progressing within their industry. So, you know, normally in those situations, I'm a full on champion of anybody in the industry or in any industry doing business or whatever, because I know how tough and hard it is. But I just found myself in that position just being like, it just really, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. It was like... I don't know what word to put on it, but it just didn't feel great.
Was it like, was it imposter syndrome? Like, you're kind of thinking, oh, I shouldn't be here.
No.
Or was it more like disappointment.
It was disappointment. It was more disappointment. Yeah, I definitely felt disappointed in myself. Like failure. I felt like a failure.
Yeah, but like, okay. And you had said this to me when around this time of you closing the business, that like you were looking at it as an L on your sheet, you know, of like that it was a failure. You used that word before. And I'm looking at you going, I'm sorry, you took a business from one tiny little room in Swords 12 years ago to the brand that has been in, you took it to Dubai, you had a London Academy, you had three academies in Ireland, like staff, you were like just a success, runner-up in the Young Entrepreneur Awards, like nominated every year for awards like the Image Awards, the High Style Awards, all of these accolades that on paper, and we'll come to your CV in a minute because that ended up being like
an issue.
Yeah, but on paper, I'm like, the word failure just cannot be found within what I'm seeing when I look at you. But then again.
But that's what I mean. That's when I realized how much I attached having my own business as being successful. So then when you take it away, I'm like, well, who am I now? Like,
at the same time, you're becoming a mother.
So yeah,
then you
so
lose
there was
your
just
own
so
sense of
many
identity
mixed feelings and things. And it's only now. Like, you know, I got asked recently, and I now have a new job, and I got asked recently, you know, was it hard to close your business? Are you happy that you closed it? And I was like, do you know what? It was tough at the time, but now I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad I did it. You know, I got paid last week from my new job, and it was the first time in 13 years that I got a wage into my account that I didn't have to give a shit of where the money came from. I didn't have to pay somebody else. I didn't have to worry about it. It just arrived in my account.
That was so lovely that evening. You were buzzing. Like, you were
like, I was so
buzzing.
Happy. Like, it was just so stress-free. Like, you know, and, you know, going into this new job, like, you know, yeah, there's high expectations and stuff like that because of my background and things like that. But I am never going to be in the same stressful situations. Like, there's nothing that I can come up against in this job that, like, is going to faze me. Because I've done it all for 13 years. Yeah. You know, like, I put out fires every single day. The stuff that people don't even know that went on that I had to fix or go through. So, like, now I just, there's just no such thing as stress within this environment. And it's just such a lovely place to be.
And I think you also have a team. That was you used to talk about being a business owner as being such a lonely.
Oh, it's so. And I think people that are in business can 100% relate that, like, you know, it is such a lonely road, because especially if there's issues and obstacles and hurdles, and like if you don't have a strong team around you, or I suppose the correct term would be experienced team around you. I had a fantastic team, but a lot of mine were like, I brought them up through the company, and I had one or two that came in experienced, which was great, but a lot of them, you know, we took past students and turned them into tutors and turned them into managers and stuff like that. So looking back now, you know, that's great and everything, but you know, in terms of my support and stuff like that, I would definitely do things differently now.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And it is because it's also you're dealing with, as the business owner, the perception of you. Sure, they have loads of money.
Yeah.
So they're like,
oh,
you
Jesus,
know.
Jesus, like the amount of that you would have got, like, is just unbelievable. And I know other people in businesses, you know, someone that I know that ran that has a business, and anytime she like upgraded her car or got a new car, she lost people, like
team members.
Well, not team members, but like customers. She would have lost customers, like, and it's just that always just baffled me how that was a thing, like, yeah. Do you know? But anyway, we're going off tangent. I closed my business in September, and I have a new job now. But getting the new job,
oh my
that
God,
was difficult. And not because there is no work out there. There's plenty of work out there. But what I found is that, number one, trying to do up a CV, I found that, like, I could have submitted a CV that was 10 pages long.
Yeah.
Like, I really could have if I wanted to actually write down all my experience. But obviously, no one's going to look at a 10-page CV. So you have to try and condense it down. And then, like, I had to try and figure out what part of, like, where I wanted to work, like, in terms of, like, what industry I wanted to work in. So there was all of that, but like, I couldn't get an interview for ages. And it was like, the feedback that I was getting, like, when I did speak to recruiters was, number one, I was overexperienced. And number two, it's because I was a previous business owner. So the perception is that I'm either going to want stupid money that people can't afford, or else I'm going to come in and want to have a higher role or like
take over
and stuff like that. But anyway, I got a job and I'm very happy where I am.
And I'm delighted for you.
Thanks.
It's great to see.
Yeah. So moving on from that, we just spoke about a few minutes ago about grieving the old you or us. And I suppose there's a bit of both of that, in that we both individually grieve our old selves,
yeah. But
then we also grieve us as a couple. We're heading away at the end of this month, skiing, which we can't wait for. But it's kind of like our honeymoon as such. And we were only saying this morning, I was saying, like, I can't wait to just hang out with you, just the two of us, and like not have the responsibility of Alex and stuff like that, and just to get some sleep.
It's so hard to mind your relationship, and so important to mind your relationship after you have a kid. But even like
date nights and stuff, it's like harder, because you're like, you have to get a babysitter, you have to, like, you know, it's all that sort of stuff. We would have definitely been a type of relationship that was on a whim in terms of like last minute plans. Do you know that type way, where now it has to be a little bit more planned and thought out?
We know what we're doing in December 2023, and we booked this actually December 2022.
I remember,
I was a little bit apprehensive when you were all talking about it.
Yeah, you were like, I don't know where I'm going to be. And we're like, you're going to be here if we book it. You'll know exactly where you're going to be.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it is fair. Because that is not how my life was ever, that plan in advance, because I just opened it up to the unknown and to, sure, look, we'll just do it or whatever on a whim. But there's no whim anymore. But this is going to be pure self-indulgence, you and me.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah. It's going to be nice.
You mentioned then, just to talk about that grieving the old us and you and stuff like that. You had mentioned before, we had spoke about marriage renewals and reviews. Do you remember this conversation we had?
Just like in a job, you got to, you know.
So Killian, we were having this conversation about, like, I think someone had renewed their vows or something, and we were talking about that. And then you said, you know what, there should be reviews in a marriage. Like, so at a certain point in time, you should sit down and go, right, are you happy? I'm happy. Like, do you know, and review the situation like in a job, which I thought was like a good point. Like,
because how many relationships will just over the course of 10 years kind of drift apart and never address things? And then unhappiness could turn into resentment, and then could ultimately lead to, you know, the feeling of distance within the relationship. All of these different things that are kind of born from, if you just sit down and go, actually, do you know what, when you do this, that's annoying, or whatever the case might be. But yeah, I kind of think a review. And then also, I think my main point of the whole marriage was that I think every 10 years it should be like the contract only lasts 10 years. And after 10 years, you can get out. It's free. Get out, it's got free.
Like, you don't have to go through a divorce.
No, because all that. It's just like, every 10 years. So every 10 years, you just go, right, let's do this again. Let's maybe just do 5 years this time, and we'll have a little look in 5 years' time. But so that you're only actually locked in until that, as opposed to like, you're locked in forever.
Like, I don't know if I should, I don't know if like I'm supposed to take offense to this.
No, because I think it, like, forces both of us to work harder on the relationship, because you can't take it for granted.
I don't take offense from it, but I'm just wondering, am I supposed to take offense to it? Like, is there people out there listening going, oh my God, like, that's so insulting that he wants to, 10 years time, he only wants to be married to me for 10 years and then check back in and go, but
I want to be married to you forever. But what I don't want is for both of us to become complacent, which is what I think can happen if you know he's not going to leave me because he's too scabby to pay for a divorce. Whereas if after 10 years, chicken, scot-free, I could be walking away from this. Well, then you better, you know, make sure that you bring as much to the table as I do.
If you get married young. So like, if you get married,
would you have considered us young?
No. Like, if you get married in your 20s or 30s.
If you get married like in your early 20s, at 30, there should be a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, like, you should be able to reevaluate, because people change in those moments. And so I don't know if anybody gets married in their 20s anymore.
But America, it's very big over there. And we've got 7 listeners in America. So for those 7, definitely, I think if you do get married that young, there should be some sort of a, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. We're not going to solve it now. But I just think, marriage, it should be, because it's a constant work thing. But if you know, there's like, do you know what it comes down to? If you're in a job where you know you can't be fired, you're not going to do your best the review comes up, it's like, oh, you're not really performing the way you should. Okay, what are you going to do, fire me? No, you're not. Like, so there's no recourse. There's no, you know, there's no repercussion for your lack of involvement. Whereas, you know, if there's a serious threat of, you know, maybe this is going to end.
But I guess overall, our point is that, you know, one of our good friends had said to me before, she said, like, you know, the relationship changes. It's just different just now. Everything used to come so easy beforehand, where now you're just going to have to work on it.
Yeah.
So instead of like your relationship just working naturally, now it's just like you have to put in an effort, like, do you know?
Yeah. And it's important because it's so easy to not put that effort in, because
you're
using all of your effort tokens on staying awake, on minding the child, on dropping the child here, clicking, on doing all that sort of stuff.
So
it comes down to,
truthfully, do you think you make an effort? No, this isn't a trick question. This
is
not
the
loaded.
Most loaded question that's ever been. Oh my
no,
God.
No, I'm genuinely asking.
If this was a video podcast and you saw your face, so tell me, do you think you're putting an effort in?
I didn't say it like that.
I think I could do better.
Yeah. Well, I think we both could.
I think one of my faults is maybe I'm a perfectionist and I work too hard. The job interview now.
No.
I definitely think I could do better. I quietly, internally beat myself up sometimes over the way I maybe I'm not as affectionate, or I'm not as compassionate or forgiving of circumstance to you. And there's times where I'm like, that was a dick for no, you were a dick for no reason. I would like to think I'm never actually a dick to you, but there's definitely times where I'm like, If somebody else described exactly what you just did there, you'd call them a dick.
But I do, so.
Oh, you do call me a dick. Oh, yeah. No, the whole time, you pull me up.
Yeah, I pull you up in the moment because I don't want it to fester. So, like, I don't want it to turn into something. So, same way you pull me up in the moment, like, a lot of the time, I think. Or sometimes you probably just keep the peace, you don't. It's a bit different with men, I think.
Oh, yeah, most of the time I just internalise that to myself and that goes into the lads' WhatsApp group.
No, it doesn't. But no, I will. Like, if
you're right, though. It is different with guys and girls.
Yeah, it's very different.
The woman can pull up the man and does pull up the man and discipline the man, because how many times, and my way of doing it to you is passive-aggressive. What I do to you is I'll point out a situation and I'll say, that's mad now, isn't it? Imagine how I did that. God, wouldn't there be a different reaction?
Yeah, but I always say to you, like, in certain moments, I go, I actually just thought that in my head. If you had done that, I would have killed you.
Yeah. It doesn't stop you killing me when I do it.
No, but at least I'm honest about it.
At least you acknowledge the fact that it's unfair. Yeah, it doesn't make it any better. It's just like, yeah, that is shit for you. Oh, well, this is just what's going to go. But there is definitely that kind of, you know what, you're right, Debbie. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it is hard to be a man. So I think being a straight white man is probably the most oppressed. Are we minority? No, we're not minority. We're the most oppressed group at the moment. So you know what? Thank you. Actually, thank you, Debbie.
I hate when you do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to push this along because we've been recording this for a while now. So just to end it, what I wanted to end it on was like, we had got loads of questions in the last, like, remember what, a year ago when we did the podcast for the first time?
And you think people are waiting with bated breath?
No, but I was reading through.
Hope they answer in 13 months' time.
So before we started the podcast today, I was like, I'm just going to look back at some of these questions. And there was one question that I wanted to ask you that came up. And someone had asked, what's your most awkward moment? But I don't want you to answer it, because I know what your most awkward moment in your life is, and I want to answer it. So basically, I picked this question because I want to tell this story. So when I read this question, I was like, I know exactly his most awkward moment.
God, what could this be?
So all I have to say is Brown Thomas.
Oh my God, 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 oh my God.
So, one Christmas.
Debbie, don't do this.
One Christmas,
Debbie,
we were in
Brown.
One Christmas, we were in Brown Thomas shopping, like looking at the Christmas shop or whatever. And they had, we went up the escalator, this woman, this girl is standing at the top of the escalator dressed in red, and she's just standing at the top of escalator, and we came up the escalator, and he goes, oh my God, hi, went over, and fucking stuck the lips on her cheek, gave her a kiss, being like, oh my God, she just looked at him, was like, yeah, okay.
So from my perspective, what happened is, right, we're in
Brown
Thomas at Christmas.
And then we walked away. Oh, and then you went, that's not who I thought it was. So, well, I've never, and she just looked at me being like, your boyfriend just kissed me.
We're going up the escalator and there's my friend, I thought she lives in Dubai. I said, no way. So she's there, standing there, and she goes, welcome to level two. And I thought it was like this little in-joke. I was like, oh, how are you? Straight over, big kiss in the cheek. And she kind of was like, not really receptive to the kiss, which is the first trigger. I'm like, maybe. And then as I'm walking away, I realize
she's just a greeter. Confused.
She's just Christmas staff that's brought in to literally greet like people onto each floor.
Ready to get security. Like it was Christmas. They had these women dressed in red or men or whatever. And each floor they were like, you know, welcome, you know, this type of vibe. It's Christmas.
Oh
like,
my God, just think about it. And then like, we look back across the shop floor and you could just see the look on her face of like.
And she just looked at me like as if like.
You're okay with your fella just
like,
doing that?
Like that's the most bizarre thing that I'd say she like tells people that story.
I'd say because she just hired in, obviously it was just temporary staff. I'd say she's just like, she was told, now with a Brent Thomas customer, you know, you want to make sure that they feel at home when they come to the level, so greet them, bring them to your level and tell them what's on the floor and everything. And she's like,
she was
this
just short,
I have to
she
do.
Was just short calling security.
Oh my God.
Like if anybody knows Killian, you know how like, I'm going to use this word that you're not going to like, but I don't know any other word, flamboyant.
It's not flamboyant,
but like you're not dramatic. What's the word? I don't know what the, it's like. You're flamboyant. You're like, you know, I don't know.
Using your hands isn't helping. You're not making this any better for yourself.
Anyway, you're very friendly. That better?
Friendly, charismatic, bubbly.
Bubbly and friendly, we'll say. So,
but
like,
not charismatic.
Occasionally. But basically, anybody that knows Killian, you know the way he is, like the way he greets you, the way, like, you know, he's like all in, like, and he was all in with this girl.
Oh, Christ.
And like, yeah, I think that's your most awkward moment that I'm aware of. I can remember.
Skin crawling thinking about that.
Is there any awkward moments that you think that I've been involved in or situations? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? Maybe I'm going to open next week's episode with what I think is your most awkward moment.
Good. That's a good way to end the podcast. So thanks so much to everyone for listening.
Barely spoke about Alex, which is kind of nice because it feels like all of our conversations last year have been about the child. So we will talk about Alex. We'll give you a full update.
It's the new parents podcast. So it's us as new parents. And like what we spoke about today is like what we've been navigating as new parents. So they don't necessarily all have to be about Alex, even though he is the center of our universe. He's amazing. But yeah, thanks so much, everyone, for listening.
Go on with yourselves.
He's back. So yeah, bye.